Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. But my guess is this, that the reason that Paul wrote to these Ephesians is somewhat relevant to us today. I think we need to hear this. It's relevant now, it was relevant yesterday, it'll be relevant tomorrow. But we need to hear these things because we live in a world that does not subscribe to Jesus. And we know this. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please pray with me. God, we are reminded that we are limited. We are needy. We are, as poetic as it sounds, like ships just tossed to and fro on the ocean at times. Remind us, Lord, of your almightiness, of your power, of your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There is a lot here. But what we see here is the Apostle Paul is praying for this church. If you look at any map of the Apostle Paul's journeys, it's all through this this world area of the world that is Israel and to the west, going in this Roman culture, these Roman societies, all of these areas, and there's spotted churches that he has started and other peoples have started, and he wrote letters to them. This letter is intentionally addressing specific things. And my guess is that I'm not the only one who gets tired. And I don't mean like I need a nap. Like I'm just tired, bro. Like I need a break. You ever felt that way? Man, some of us have issues right now in life, and we don't know the answer. Sometimes it's financial. Lord, I don't see the answer financially. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. Maybe it's our jobs. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do here with this job, with this relationship. Lord, I don't know how to fix it, and I don't see a way through the wall that seems to be in front of me. Lord, what can you do with this? Paul is reminding these people about who God is, and he's praying for God to bolster them on the inside. I got five things I want us to see this morning that I think we need to see this morning and tomorrow morning and the next morning and yesterday morning and when we're 92. Those of you who are 92, you're going to need it when you're 93. These are the five things, and we'll break them down. We need God's strength. You can write it down later. We'll get to it. But we need God's strength. We need Christ's dwelling. We need God's help in understanding His love. We need to be filled with God, and we need to know, not intellectually hear and read, but we need to know that God can do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. So what does Paul do? He gets on his knees, he prays. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. Paul knows that God is almighty, and he is bowing, whether it's physically, or just this is metaphoric, symbolic, whatever. I believe that Paul spent plenty of time on his knees. But he's bowing in submission, asking God to help this church. And he's showing these Ephesians, this is the God from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. This is not a limited God. This is not a God who just resides on the eastern border of the Mediterranean area of whatever. This is not a God who just sits on the northern tip of Africa, Egypt, the little island of Cyprus. This is God Almighty, who every family is named on heaven, on earth and in heaven. Whether that's people who have passed away, who will come later, the heavens above, the earth below. This is God Almighty who has done all, and it is this God that I bow my knees before as I pray for you. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened. The first point, we need God's strength. We need God's strength. If you think you got enough on your own, I love you, but you're wrong. There are days when we feel strong. For me, those dwindle. It's like, wow, now I stand out. Like, oh, I feel strong today. Like, that's a new thing. He prays for strength, but He does this out of the riches of His glory. According to the riches of His glory, that you would be strengthened with power through His Spirit. That God has this abundant riches, this treasure chest of riches that He can strengthen us with. Now, it is not my strength and your strength. God is Spirit. He's given us these physical bodies, but He knows we are limited. He doesn't say, I pray that God gives you the strength to lift all of the weight that you can lift physically, so you may be able to pick up your child or your wife or cut the tree down that you need. He says that you would be filled with God's power with His Spirit in your inner being. Right? According to the riches of His glory, spiritual. You'll be strengthened with power through His Spirit, spiritual. In your inner being, spiritual. So He's praying that God would give us God's strength. Have you ever been in a situation and you're like, I don't know how I pulled that off? Like, life was heavy that day. I was out of everything. I had no more strength. I had no more rest. I had no more encouragement. I had no more love. I was just ready to collapse. Yet, I had this inner strength, and I was able to pull through. In fact, no, God pulled me through. It wasn't me who did it, it was something else. It was God inside of me. Paul knows that these Ephesians, they can't fight against all of these other spiritual things. Polytheistic, one of the big things there was this temple of Artemis. There are all kinds of things going on there that they had to be in opposition to now that they are believers. It's no different in Cyprus. Cyprus, California, not Cyprus in the Mediterranean. That's R-U-S, this is E-S-S, right? It's no different from there to here. All you got to do is open the news. Open the newspaper? You need to do that? All you got to do is open your phone, turn on the TV, whatever it is, and look. There is a plethora of opposition for us and our faith. But God has this, to go with Ea words, God has like this cornucopia of blessings for us. That may look different today than they did yesterday. That aren't dependent on your power. Your power is limited. Your knowledge is limited. Your heart is limited. Your love is limited. Your ability is small. And oftentimes God allows us to hit a wall where we cannot go through or over or around, and we're needing God. Ever been there? Have you ever thought, God, why did you let this happen? God, what are you going to do to change this? Paul is asking for strength in their inner being. We need God's strength. But He does this through His Holy Spirit. He does this through His Holy Spirit. We're told in John 14, Jesus starts talking about the Holy Spirit that He's going to give us when He goes to the Father. The Spirit, this helper, is someone who gives us strength. God resides in us. And I think at times we can overlook how much God does in our lives when we've been a believer for a while. You wonder why some people that don't have God act a certain way? Well, maybe we've had God for a long time in our life and we overlook and underestimate what God is actually doing every day, and then we get to depend on ourselves thinking that it's us. I've done pretty good today. I love that person a little extra today. I'm understanding more and more today. I'm taller today. I'm stronger today. It's God who does these things. But these are things that you can't get working out at the gym. You can't get it through special food. You can't get it through extra sleep. You can't get it at the store. It would be rad if they had a God store. Like you just showed your card. Hi, I'm a Christian. I can come in here. I'd like a little bit of patience today. Sweet. I'll have a little holiness. I'll have a little strength. Can I have some extra love? I got a neighbor to, right? Like I need some extra today. It's not the way this works. You can't just go do it. You can't do enough push-ups to love someone. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's all in ways that can't be seen. It's all in ways that can't be bought. It's all in ways that can't be earned. It's all in ways that you and I can't do on our own. These are passive things that are done to us and for us by God. And Paul again is telling these Ephesians, I'm praying to God that He gives you this stuff. It's not that you don't got to figure this out. You don't have to accomplish this. Zechariah 4:6, some of us know this, not by might, not by power, but by my... Two people know it. Spirit, says the Lord. Maybe we should learn that one. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now, this is a different context when he's talking to Zechariah, but we're all in spots where we need God's power. And it's not by our strength that we're going to do it. It's not by our brain that we're going to do it. Not by our might, not by our ingenuity. He strengthens us in our inner being. Even though, check this out, even though the things around us are falling apart. Life isn't easy. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, the inner self is being renewed day by day. Let that stay up there just for a minute. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. In this passage, Paul is talking about us being like jars of clay that are fragile. You ever felt fragile? Like, again, it doesn't take much life. You can feel strong. It doesn't take much life to knock your legs out from underneath you. It doesn't take much opposition sometimes for us to be on our backs. But even though outside we're falling, God brings us up, builds us up inside. He transforms us. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, he says. Our faith in God brings this relationship to fruition. God draws us near, and through this, he works in us. The next thing I want us to see, we need Christ's dwelling. We need Christ's dwelling. John 15, Jesus talks about this. Instead of using the word dwell, use the word abide, which all kind of means the same. Remain, stay, dwell, hang out with, be with. We need God to do that inside of us. We should want God to do that inside of us. And in John 15, we see that when we abide in Christ, He abides in us. But Paul is asking God to dwell with these believers, which also means that there's more than just this initial. Check this out. Pay attention here. We get this initial Holy Spirit when we are saved. But there is still some kind of filling, some kind of abiding that is more when we are hanging with the Lord. When we're staying with the Lord. Think of a sheep in a pasture. That sheep always belongs to that shepherd. A lot more safety, a lot more security, a lot more understanding, a lot more food, a lot more peace when they're with the shepherd. They can easily just kind of wander and do their thing, and they're still belonging to that shepherd. But there's more with God. Do you hang out with God? And if you do, how often do you do that? If I was to ask you if you have a spouse and you said, yeah, does your spouse know you love them? Yeah, do you know about your spouse? Yeah. How often do you hang out with your spouse? Well, sometimes 6 minutes. Sometimes it's 2 minutes. Sometimes I just open up my phone and say, hi, spouse. Or sometimes I just look at the picture and I'm done for the day, but I got my spouse time early in the morning. I would question how well you know your spouse. How well your spouse knows you. How much dedication do you have to your spouse? How much relationship do you have with your spouse? What does our relationship look like with God? How much abiding are we doing with God? How much presence does God have in our lives? How much do we allow? 168 hours in a week. I wonder if we spend more time with God than we do brushing our teeth. Hopefully you brush twice a day. Do you pray twice a day? Do you read twice a day? Do you hang out with God twice a day? Or is it just eating? Where are we at with God? Paul is praying that God would be present in their hearts, and obviously he teaches these people these things. But he does this through our faith, which means we play a part in it. And he wants God to dwell in our hearts. Now the heart in this society back in this day and age probably means a little more than it does for us here in 2024. Heart in this, like even this Roman society, but this Hebrew society, Jewish society, it's this like center core of a person that drives and facilitates how they think, how they act, how they speak, how they feel, their moral compass. It radiates out of them from within, their heart. And Paul is praying that God would dwell, give them strength to dwell in their hearts, which would put God at the center of these people, so that radiating out of all of them is God. Follow me? Not God, would you find a little pocket in their cloak and hang out so they can tie you on the side, so when they're walking, every once in a while it knocks their thigh and they think of you. And they remember, oh yeah, there's this Lord. He's praying for God to be central in their lives. Is God central in our lives? If He's not, we'll probably feel it. If He's not, you'll probably feel the vacuum, the need, the void. And God is just saying, come. Abide in me. I want to abide in you. Paul goes further. So that you may, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend. This is crazy. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ. We need God's help in understanding His love. We need God's help in understanding His love. And Paul is praying that God would give them the strength to get it. But that they would be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted. Like, in fact, we were pulling weeds at Cody's house yesterday. Some of the weeds, literally, because the rain went like this, whoop! They made that sound too, and you whoop, and you're like, oh, look, whoop. It didn't. I'm just joking. But we were pulling weeds, and it was easy. Then there were some weeds that literally, you're trying to yank it out, it don't want to come out. And then it just breaks off of the stalk. You're like, okay, the weed's still in there. It's rooted and grounded. What are you rooted and grounded in? Jesus tells this parable of the soils, and it's about the Word of God taking root in people's lives. But even in that parable, what He talks about is the Word of God sometimes, people's life, their soil, there's no depth. The root, the word has no root in their lives, so it's easily plucked out. Bloop, 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 bloop. Maybe it makes that sound. Maybe something comes along, so it's the pressure of the world, it's the enemy, something, and there was the Word of God, it was doing good, and then yanked out. And Paul's praying that they would be rooted and grounded in God's love. Grounded, the foundation, what you stand on. Remember that parable about the sand and the rock? And there was a song, you better build your house upon the rock, cha-cha, make a good foundation. You guys don't even know it. Like, I'm just embarrassing myself. It's okay. But maybe if you go back to Sunday school and learn these songs. But Jesus is telling a story, a parable, about two different guys. One built his house on the sand. And the waves came and the rain came and the parts of life that pushed against that house made it crash. Because it was not founded on the rock. It was found on the sand. But the one who was founded on the rock, who built his life on the rock, which is Christ, the rain came down, the floods came, the streams broke against that house, and it stood strong. And that's talking about just obeying Christ, let alone believing in Him and having strength in Him. Has life slapped you hard enough to make you shake? And you wonder what your footing is in? We've probably seen pictures of landslides. Especially here, like Malibu, right? A house is just gone. How far do your roots go? How far down are you standing on God's love? We need help in understanding God's love. Being rooted and grounded. Now, to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. You guys ever done a one-dimensional drawing in school? Just like stick figure? And then you graduate from there and you write two dimensions, right? Like you draw a word like, I love so-and-so. And then on the E, you're like, D-d-d-d-d-d. And you write dimensions. And there's now a shadow on this. And you're like, wow, now I can see the line of the love and I can kind of see the side of it. but I don't get it because it's not three-dimensional, it's just two-dimensional, still flat on the sheet, but and then there's three-dimensional. Like, wow, I saw something in 3D. You ever saw a 3D movie? Who's seen a 3D movie? What's different about a 3D than a 2D? It jumps out at you. It doesn't really. Like, you guys are all faked out. Like, it's not really. Jaws ain't coming at you, but you feel like it, right? Now there's this dimension where you're like, wow, I can kind of see under it. Paul goes into 4D. Not 40. 4D, right? 40. That we comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love and God's power. God works in all these things. He's praying because these people need to know the height and depth and width and length of God's love. Sometimes we're limited and things are happening in life and we don't understand what God can do. We're looking at our limitations. Things happen in our physical bodies. And we're like, Lord, I don't get it. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't want to put words in God's mouth. He's probably like, that don't matter. Just because you don't know don't mean I'm not going to do it. Just because you're limited in your ability to think about me doesn't mean I'm limited in my ability to do. So Paul's praying in a sense that God almost would open up the curtains and show us the height and depth and width and length of God's love. And he wants this with all the saints too. Which gives hopefully them and us the insight that the church is important. He doesn't say, I'm praying that God gives you when you go home and you're on your own or you just go out and you live on a pole in the middle of nowhere all by yourself that you'll finally get who God is. You'll finally get His love. You'll finally understand His strength. He says that you'll understand with all the saints, which is community, which is the church. Which means we learn together. We grow together. Sometimes, I've probably said this before, sometimes you learn from someone who's just new in the faith. When I was in ceramics, our professor had us, forgive me if you've heard this before, newbies along with the advanced, all working together. And sometimes a brand new person would be on the pottery wheel and they're like, and the person that's advanced behind them going, yeah, okay, move your thumb. Okay, no, you need to, and then the person goes, whoop, and they're like, oh, how did you do that? I don't know. What did you? What? It's community. Everyone's learning together. You're growing from the newbies. You're growing from the oldies. Everyone's symbiotically helping each other, walking together, but that we would comprehend together what God's love is. Some scholars believe that it's only possible in the context of community. Like if you're not in community, there are things about God's love that you will not understand. So Ephesian believers, stay. Be in community. There's ways that we can't love others unless there's others to love. Right? Now, God does anything and everything He wants, but we're looking at a human level here. We need God's understanding. We need God's help in understanding. Have you ever understood part of something? You all should be shaking your heads yes, because you know very little that you know all of. Photosynthesis. I can barely say it, let alone understand it. Has something to do with the sun and oxygen. I know very little about that. The way a car engine works. I know a little more about that, but I don't know all of it. Gravity? I know that when I fall, and it hurts. And if you drop a marble off a building, it falls, right? Nutrition. I'm learning more. I'm learning that I don't have very good nutrition, but I don't know enough of it. How about geometry? How about color theory or dream theory? God. How much do you understand about God? I imagine our lives would be way different if we spent less time looking in geometry and color theory and more time learning about God. Because God has the answers to our problems. God has the solutions to the thing that we can't solve. God has the power where we're weak. God has the healing when we're sick. God has the dollars that come when our bank lines just don't add. You ever done your bills somewhere in your life and you're like, honey, it doesn't add up. We're not going to make it this month. Yet you make it. Have you ever heard a doctor go like this? I don't know. They're not God. Now, they have great things to offer, but they're not God. You ever been scared? So scared that it did it, that nothing was helping? Like you could literally like, okay, the police can't help me, the fire department can't help me, Bruce Lee can't help me. I'm afraid. I don't have anything. A gun won't help me. A trampoline won't help me. A video game might give me a little, like I got nothing. I'm so afraid. You ever been there? That fear, that paralyzing fear? God isn't limited by that. I'm trying to get us to think as far as we can think and then realize that it's still not far enough. We live limited when God's like, I got bigger. I got better. And why does He want us to do this? To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, which is really weird for Paul to say. I'm praying that God gives you strength to comprehend, which is grasp, like taking of a city. I grasped a hold of it. I'm praying that God gives you knowledge of the unknowable. What? How does that work? Three letters. G. O. D. I was going to say, like, you know where you're going with this. Gall? God? Oh, God, yes. Paul's saying, Lord, please open their mind. Please help them grasp this. They need this. Because if they understand this, they'll be better off in their life of faith. We need to be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a trippy one too. We need to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's part of one of these points. But how are we filled with all the fullness of God? How are we filled with God? Because obviously God, from my perspective, God can't put all of Him in me. Has anyone ever read the pages of Revelation? There's a part where John is shown this image of God the Father, God Almighty on the throne, and there are these four creatures around Him, and then there's 24 elders, and there's all these colors, and they're bowing and praising God, and it's like, wow, all of this, I don't think God is saying, God, would you put all of that in these people? Because there's one God, right? And He exists in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there's only one, yet He's wanting God to fill us. I think what Paul is saying is, Lord, give them everything that You have for them. Everything about You that You have planned, help them to understand that. Because if you read the pages, especially if you read the pages of the book of Acts, you should. You realize what Paul has gone through, what he survived, what he did, what he understood. He got beat, he got stoned, he got shipwrecked, he got bit by a snake, he got run out of town multiple times, yet he kept on going and he kept on praising God. I don't think he was superhuman, but he may have been super Christian. That might sound geeky in this day and age, but it's okay to be a super Christian. That's kind of cool. What's your superpower? I'm a super Christian. But we can't boast about that. It's all God. It's all what God does. Now this filling, as we're going to end up here in a minute, but this filling, the way that the Greek words are, I'm not a scholar, but I learned this. They're present perfect or passive perfect. Which means this is not something that you or I do. It's done to us. Which means you're not going to fill yourself. You're not going to strengthen yourself. You're not going to grow yourself. We will be filled. We will be strengthened. We will be grown by God. And then the perfect, I believe, is the ongoing state of affairs, which means it keeps happening. Paul's praying that, in a sense, this is the Brandonese, Lord, would You do all the work and strengthening and giving these people the ability to grasp all that You have, and would You keep on doing it? Not that they have to do any of it, but would You keep on doing it for them? That's what Paul's saying here. And some of us, or all of us, need that on a daily basis. We wake up in the morning and we need to know that God has it all. And He'll give us all that we need. And where we end with this is this last two verses. The band can come on up. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a rad statement. Just close your eyes for a second. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. You can open them now so you don't fall asleep. But all that we ask or think. When you think limited about God, you're doing a disservice. The most that you can imagine, the most that you can hope, the most that you can dream, the most that you can try to figure out Have you asked God for all of that? He's like, yeah, with my pinky. He can do far more. So ask Him. Dwell with Him. Lean on Him. Trust Him. Understand that He has it all. And I believe when we do that, we help glorify God. We help glorify God. He does this through the power within us. And last verse, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This tells us that we as the church have the ability to take part in the glory of God. Let that sink in. The God who built the universe, the God who knit you in your mother's womb, who put the stars in place, who made the earth spin, who put the sun just far enough so it won't burn, just close enough so we won't freeze. That God, He allows us to take part in activity that gives Him glory. Don't let church, the church, be an afterthought. Don't let the church be something that you do only if nothing better comes up. Because it gives glory to God. And how rad is it to maybe go to bed that night, this night, tonight, whatever night, and go, yeah, God, I messed up. I thank You for Your forgiveness and Your grace and Your mercy, and for allowing me to be taking part in something that gives You glory. I am a 139-pound, red-headed stepchild with more flaws than you can imagine, that body hurts all the time, that my hair is thinning, I'm very insecure, and I don't know what I'm doing from one day to the next, yet somehow God allows me to take part in what brings Him glory. For that, we should praise God. I should just end right there. I'm going to end right there. We should all praise God. We're going to worship God through communion. Because one of the ways that He shows us His love and His strength and His power is with the sacrifice of Jesus. Some of us this is new. Some of us this is old. If it's old, make it new again. Don't let it be just secondhand. Don't let it be something that I do every week and so now it's just this. This is the most amazing act of sacrifice and love ever known. That God would send His Son to pay the penalty for our sins. And that Jesus would allow it. Do you remember Him in the garden? God, Father, if there's any other way, do it. But not my will, but Yours be done. Which means part of Jesus' humanity was like, you got another plan? But not my will, Yours be done, Lord. God wants us to glory in Him. God wants us to be strengthened. God wants us to understand that He can do so much more, and He did this through Jesus. So we're going to have the bread and the juice that represents the body and blood of Jesus. Jeremy's going to play some music. Take it as you will. If you need prayer, there'll be some elders in the back to get prayer. If you just feel like you want to pray for someone, go pray for the elder that's standing in the back. If you want to get on your knees and pray at the prayer wall, do that. You want to do a jumping jack, just do it outside. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are an amazing God. All around us, life goes up and down. There are unsureties, there are limitations. And You have made us with the ability to need You. And boy, do we need You. Lord, help us to understand that You have everything we need and more. You have everything we can ask for in You and more. And everything we can think of. And You already thought of it. We thank You for giving us Jesus, for the mercy, the grace, the love, the forgiveness, so that when we fail in any of these things, that's all paid for by Jesus, because You love us. It's in these things we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.